Did you know that the 4th of July is on a Thursday this year? That's going to be a full weekend of fun out on the deck, 4 days. But if your deck isn't what it used to be and you aren't using it for great family gatherings, you need to call my friends at All Weather Decks. All Weather Decks is a 24-time winner of the Angie Super Service Award. And they probably help one of your neighbors. Click on the map link at allweatherdecks.net. Call All Weather Decks today at 913-206-1974 or go to allweatherdecks.net and mention you heard it on 810. Call now and relax.
Good morning, Kansas City. This is the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you very much for joining us. We appreciate you listening to the show on this Wednesday, July 29th, 2020. Stephen St. John and Nate Bucati with Jake Gutierrez. It's hump day. Let's get to humping together. As we'll talk to Mike Boddicker today on the show in the 7 o'clock hour. Kansas City Roos head basketball coach Billy Donlin at 8:05. J.J. Piccolo from the Kansas City Royals at 8:30. And then Jeff Chedia from NFL Network and NFL.com will be on the show for the entire 9 o'clock hour. So a good lineup of guests for you. We will also hear some postgame from Mike Matheny after last night's disappointing loss by the Royals to the Tigers, 4-3. You heard some of the highlights and lowlights from that game. Kyle Zimmer pitched a couple of innings. Didn't give up any runs in the first two innings, but couldn't escape the third, and one of his runners came around to score after Tyler Zuber came in the game and decided to throw some home run derby, and that was disappointing because Tyler Zuber is a well-thought-of prospect for the Royals, and he had looked good in his first appearance of the season. He did not look good last night, and that game fell apart quickly, just as quickly as the Royals were up 3-0 courtesy of the three-run home run from Whit Merrifield in the top of the third, then the bottom of the third, the four runs given up with the two home runs hit by the Detroit Tigers. And that was it. That was all the scoring for the entire game, all taking place in the third inning as the Tigers beat the Royals 4-3. But the rest of the bullpen was able to offer up five innings of scoreless baseball, but then the Royals could do nothing with what is considered a really bad bullpen with Detroit after they were able to get three runs on the board in the third inning. That was it. They were the victims of six shutout innings by the Detroit bullpen. But most of the people today, besides just the fact that the Royals lost, we'll be talking about the what word shall I use? Terrible performance from Adalberto Mondesi. Lackluster. He looked disinterested. He looked like he wasn't, his head wasn't in the game. Whatever you want, it was. He was in every facet of the baseball game last night. He was bad. He was bad at the plate. He was bad in the field. And he was bad on the base paths. And I look, you, everyone knows, that listens to the show, of my blooming infatuation with Bobby Witt Jr. And I understand that it's too early to be, well, for most people it's too early to be talking about him. In relation to the big league squad. I get it. I understand that. But I brought up Mondesi several times before the season because I feel like this is a huge game for Mondesi moving forward, not this year, but next year, because next year we should start talking about Bobby Witt Jr. being the shortstop. We should start talking about Bobby Witt Jr. a year from now coming up and taking over for Mondesi, if that's what we're going to see at shortstop for the Kansas City Royals. First, I know Mike Matheny's trying to get him going, and he's toying with the different lineups. He does not need to be hitting third in this lineup, first of all. he needs to be at the very bottom of the lineup. What's his slash line so far for the year? It's early, but this is only a 60-game season. Every game counts 2.7 times as much. 0.95, 0.95, and 1.43 would be the slash line that Mondesi has offered up right now. So we knew that. We knew that he would. There's a chance he would struggle to play because that's what he's done. He struggled in the field. But what he did in the ninth inning, I can't wait to talk to Mike Boddicker about that. And most people saw it in the ninth inning. I mean, look, he very well, I mean, you could say he cost the Royals a chance to at least tie that game last night. That was a terrible, awful, very bad mental mistake. A couple of mental mistakes by Mondesi. And the Royals should have had a runner on second with one out in the ninth inning of a one-run game. Instead, because of Mondesi's mental lapse, they had nobody on base with two outs. That is huge. That could have cost them the game. Maybe it did. We'll never know. I mean, Salvi looked terrible striking out swinging, but I'm quite sure that Salvi changes his approach if it's one out with a runner on second base as opposed to nobody on base and two outs. Mondesi pops it up in the infield. He's not running hard to first base. The ball drops, and if he would have been running hard, he would have been at second base. That's it. He would have been at second base. And the Royals have a runner at second with one out in a one-run game in the ninth inning. Instead, this is a word that we don't get to use that often. He lollygags to first base. The pop fly hits the ground. He gets caught in no man's land somehow. And the catcher fires the ball back to first base behind him, and he tries to get back into first base and gets thrown out. So not only because of lack of hustle he didn't end up at second base, he didn't even end up at first base. And so look, what's the answer? I don't know. I don't think he should be hitting third. I think he needs to be, well, first of all, I think he needs to be on the bench for this game.
Gosh. You lollygag the ball around the infield. You lollygag your way down to first. You lollygag in and out of the dugout. You know what that makes you, Larry?
Lollygag.
Lollygaggers.
He was lollygagging. And, I mean, look, look, so the stuff at the plate doesn't bother me as much because I'm not of this camp that has expected him to be, I'm not going to go through all the lofty projections, but top five shortstop in the world, you know, top five in the AL. I get it. All the tools in the world and everything else, but he hasn't done anything to suggest that. And so for him at the plate to struggle, yeah, I think we all kind of anticipated that. That's what he's been so far. And again, this is not a 20 or 21-year-old player scuffling in the place. 25 years old. He's 25. And he had 135 at-bats at the major league level back in 2016. This is 2020, people. And he's coming off a year where he had a on-base percentage well below 291, which is unacceptable, a 279 on base in almost 1,000 plate appearances in the majors. So we're getting a pretty good idea of what he is. Now, he has a tremendous set of skills, speed, power, athleticism, all that. But at some point, that's got to turn into production. And again, shouldn't even be talking about the stuff at the plate. That's been bad. But he's been very hot and cold. He's gone through terrible stretches where it looks like he couldn't hit a baseball. And then there have been a few times that he's been red hot and has shown the ability to be a super productive offensive player. But this is a totally different story when you're talking about his head not being in the game. And him having a chance in the game to turn a routine double play and can't even get the ball out of his glove to get one of the outs. And I don't even know how you categorize what happened in the ninth inning. And if we're talking about how important every single game is, and we should look at every game like a series, because every game is worth 2.7 games in relation to a 162 game schedule. How do you explain your way out of that one? How do you defend what happened last night? And so just all the way around, you listen to Rex and Ryan, and Rex is he's not right. There's just something not right with him. And then you get on Twitter, and everyone's speculating. And that's because that's how bad it is. People are speculating, well, something must have happened in the clubhouse. Or maybe he's not healthy. Something's not right with him. That's how bad he looks, to where people are speculating what's wrong with him. That he's looked so bad, there's got to be something wrong with him. That's how bad it is right now. And I don't know. I don't know if there's something wrong with him. I don't know if there's anything going on in the clubhouse. But when you're playing that bad where that's the speculation, well, someone's got to do something. Nate Buchady, your thoughts on Mondesi's performance in the loss last night?
Well, I certainly would be surprised to see him in the lineup for the next couple days. Because of everything you said, I mean, he's in an offensive funk, but, you know, the old adage in baseball is you can't take your offense out into the field with you, especially if you play a premium defensive position. If you're a catcher, if you're a shortstop, if you're a center fielder, you can't take your offensive struggles out into the field. I mean, no players it really can afford to, but especially guys that play premium defensive positions. And then when you start having brain farts on the bases, you have to be sat down. I think I'll be surprised if we see him in the lineup for the next couple days. Now, this is maybe one of the things we'll find out about Mike Matheny. You know, Ned Yost was the kind of guy that would a lot of times run players out there every day for much longer than you thought he would if they were in a slump, things like that. He, of course, would always stand up for them publicly. Mike Matheny pretty much stood up for Mondesi publicly last night, which you expect a manager to do. You don't expect him to go out in the media and throw the guy under the bus. But
after being questioned by Todd Lebo, he stood up for him. Let me make that note.
That's right. That's right. And I think that's how he should handle it. He shouldn't go out and trash his players to the media. He should handle it in the clubhouse and handle it with his starting lineup. But it's ironic because I don't know if Mondesi's head isn't in the game because he is struggling, or if he's struggling because his head isn't in the game, right? And it's easy to speculate that the defensive problems you talked about and the base running problems you talked about, is that just because the guy's down on himself because he's hitting like garbage right now and he's striking out half the time that he's at the plate and he's not getting any hits and he's pouting?
That's no excuse for not running out a pop fly in the ninth inning when your team's down by one run.
100%.
I mean, that's great if he's feeling sorry for himself and everything else, but when he's costing his team a baseball game in the ninth inning, that excuse is not good enough.
It's not an excuse. And what I was going to say is the ironic part is you can least afford to have your head not in the game when you're playing poorly. That's the ironic part. Like, guys have a tendency to pout sometimes when they're not playing well. That's when you can least afford to pout, because the team's not going to have any patience for you if you have a mess up like that, if you're not producing. If you're producing and you screw up, it's still bad, but the team might look at it and go, well, the guy is raking right now and he's putting up numbers. Maybe we'll just have a word with him and tell him he needs to clean it up a little bit.
Just by hustling, he could have helped his baseball team last night.
Yeah.
Because then, just with hustle and paying attention to what's happening in the game, he would have given the Royals one of their fastest base runners at second base in a one-run game in the ninth inning, and he would have been able to score on anything. Or if Salvi could have moved him over, he'd have been at third base. And really, I mean, a wild pitch, whatever.
Yep.
Any kind of hit, once he's at second base with one out, would have scored him.
Yep.
It was just a devastating mistake in the ninth inning of a one-run game when every game matters so much more.
He got very lucky that the error he made in the field didn't turn into anything. You know, they got a double play right after it because that put the Royals in a bad situation. And, yeah, you're right. I mean, if you're not hitting, your attitude has to be, okay, I'm going to find another way to help the team win till I get myself going offensively. I'm going to make some great plays in the field. If I do get a chance to be on base, I'm going to wreak havoc on the base paths, which he has the opportunity to do. He's got elite speed. Weird thing about running, though, is speed only matters if you actually use it, you know, if you actually run. So, like I said, if he's in the lineup tonight against the Tigers, I'll be very surprised.
And he should not be hitting in, he should be hitting third.
No.
What has he done? Really, what has he done to earn hitting third in this lineup? They've taken such big steps forwards with analytics, right?
Yeah, looks like it.
Tell me what anything you see that suggests that he should be hitting third in this lineup.
I mean, nothing lately. In 2018, he put up some pretty good numbers offensively in a half a season, but last year, what's happened so far this year? I mean, he hasn't shown anything. So,
right, now, even in 2018, but you're talking about a guy with a 306 on base,
right?
I mean, what?
Yeah, I mean, that's first of all, I agree with you that he should be hitting at the bottom of the order right now. But second of all, it is also a reflection of, especially with Hunter Dozier out, the lack of true middle of the lineup quality for this team. But there are better options than Mondesi right now, for sure.
And what did you say? You didn't know if he's struggling at the plate because his...
I don't know if he's struggling because his head's not in the game or if his head's not in the game because he's struggling.
Very much. I know you copied this from this great person, but very much like the words of Fat Bastard.
Right.
I eat because I'm unhappy, and I'm unhappy because I eat.
Aha! It's a self-perpetuating cycle, maybe, is what you're saying.
So Mondesi very much like that, I guess.
Yeah, I guess so.
So, Jake, do you have any comments on Mondesi's late-inning performance?
No, not really. I mean, he kind of reminds me of, like, 2017 when he came up in that April and he was just horrible. And that's when we saw Witt Merrifield come up and we saw the emergence of Witt, right? But they tried to jam him into that, you know, he's our second baseman, we're going to run, and then, you know, 20 games later, he's gone. So it's, that's, when I'm watching him, I feel like I'm watching Mondesi from 3 years ago. That's how far it looks like he's digressed currently. And look, the sample size, what? It's small. 5 games, right? 6 games. So it's like, you know, it's bad. It's bad.
And he's got a track record of causing you to question how much he really loves the game, how much he really loves to play. And I don't know the answer to that. I can't sit here. I'm not in his mind. I don't know what's going on with him right now. But those questions have been raised in the past about him. And that, when those questions are already there and then you go out and you perform like this, that only enhances that idea. You know, so that's not a good sign.
It's just, it really is. But look, the Royals, and the Royals have been stubborn, like in the past, about players, but players that put up monster numbers in the minors that gave you some evidence, like, okay, look, we're going to stick with this guy. Like Mike Moustakas is always the popular example, right?
Mm-hmm.
But, like, even, like, are we just supposed to ignore numbers? Okay, then I mean, in the majors, right? His slash line, almost 1,000 at-bats. 247, 279, 410. Look, that's god awful. If you just looked at that on paper, didn't tell you it was, you would say that's god awful, right? I mean,
yeah.
Am I wrong? Okay. In the minors, in 543 games played in the minors, well over 2,000 plate appearances, slash line of 258, 303, 409. Really similar to, I mean, I guess my question is, how long does he have to do this in the minors and in the majors? And I'm just talking about performance at the plate before people accept or we accept this is what he is. That's what he is at the plate. Now let's see if we can turn him into a guy that maximizes all of his potential. And he is that's not even on the table right now. Right now you've got a guy that doesn't run out, pop flies in the ninth inning and costs his team a chance to tie a game. We will take a break and talk more about the Royals and their loss last night to the Detroit Tigers after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
I can't stop eating. I eat because I'm unhappy. I'm unhappy because I eat.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Same game time tonight for the Royals and Tigers. Danny Duffy on the mound for the Royals. Matthew Boyd.
I do enjoy the East Coast Tigers. Time starts.
Yeah.
I do enjoy them. It makes me feel old saying that.
At least we don't have to deal with any West Coast times this season, right?
Stay in the Midwest, baby. But, yeah, those... Six o'clock starts. Love them. Love them.
I love them because I can listen to post-game featuring Todd Lebo and Mike Matheny. Let's hear the Royals manager after the loss last night.
Hey Skip, just one of those losses kind of tough to swallow, huh?
Yeah. You know, kind of the opposite yesterday, right? We get down and come right back. Saw the other side of that today. I felt we had a lot of game left. The guys are starting to get comfortable in the box. Unfortunately, not really able to put anything together after that.
The two home run balls from Tyler, the changeup didn't seem like that horrible of a pitch. It seemed like it was down, maybe just a good piece of hitting. What was your perspective on that?
Yeah, good piece of hitting. And, you can always go back and second guess what pitch. You did with it, but that's a new pitch for Zoom, and he needs to keep throwing it. And you know, it's going to be learning the league a little bit more, which guys may be better to use the slider to as opposed to the changeup, and vice versa. He's going to continue to learn and get better. And it's a pitch that I want to make sure he keeps throwing because it's a plus pitch.
What was the conversation with Zim on the mound after he unfortunately hit the guy in the head?
I was giving Zub a little more time, just trying to give him a little more time to make sure he needed just a few more pitches. So, you know, that was a great job by Zim. It's exactly what we'd hoped. Give us a couple innings, give us a chance, keep us right in there. And he comes out there with a lead after we got some momentum, trying to take advantage now. As good as Tyler's been throwing the ball, I have a lot of confidence in him.
I know you're going to be a guy like most managers are going to have your players back, and this certainly isn't on Mondi at all. But is he kind of in a funk right now?
Yeah, he's pressing. Yeah, no question. And you can see that it's in his mind about maybe not even wanting to get to two strikes and then getting real defensive even a little earlier than what he needs to. And it's only natural too to try to make up for that by being over aggressive, trying to be maybe even quicker than you need to. Defensively. So we're just going to continue to talk to him, get him to breathe a little bit. He's such a pure natural player, everything he does. And I know there's things that right now he's just not happy with. He knows he'd love to be standing on second base and wants to be on second base on that pop-up as well. Those sort of things, they just kind of seem to snowball when you get onto a little bit of a bad run.
Thanks, Skip.
All right, Clay.
And Mike, it seems like giving extra outs obviously is going to bite you, but in a shortened season, it's magnified, isn't it?
Yeah, every out is so important. And we talked to our pitchers about and pitchers, first of all, not putting us in a spot where we're giving the free base, and then it comes over onto our defense that we've got to make plays behind them because it is going to reach out there and grab us. And we did a nice job pitching around some trouble today that we caused for ourselves. I mean, let's also talk before I walk out of here about how great of a job the rest of that pen did, keeping us in that game one right after the other. Those guys came in and did a real nice job of keeping us in striking distance. And, you know, unfortunately, we just weren't able to put hits on top of each other. But overall, I thought that pen did a fantastic job. And we know we're the kind of team that's going to play cleaner defense. And we're going to have to capitalize on other teams' mistakes and make sure that we're limiting ours.
Hey, Skip, what's the challenge for you as a new manager? And you had an odd offseason, obviously, getting to know all these guys and trying to figure out exactly how you want to, you know, deal with Mondesi a little bit, since you don't have as long a history with him.
Yeah, we have a lot of guys around here who have had a long history, and certainly be wise to use their relationships, one, and then two, for them to give me some guidance on how's the best way to handle each player. What does this guy need? But the other part is we've had a lot of time to have conversations, and that was one of the rare kind of odd benefits of the whole quarantine, is we were on Skype and phone calls and having conversations probably at a level that was just different than what you would do when you're at the field. And so, you know, we're able to just – these guys need you to be real, though. I mean, they sniff out phony and just talk about, you know, this is where you are. This is where we know you can be. How can we help you get there? Because when you do, it's going to be fun. I just think this is one of the most underrated players in the entire game of baseball. I don't think the baseball world has any clue. I've told you guys this before. They don't have any idea how good this guy can be. And so sometimes, you know, taking that breath, breathe a little bit, trust yourself, know we trust you. And let's control the things that we can control and make sure that you know, we're putting in the work, we're making the adjustments, pointing out things, being honest, and then giving them a chance to put that into action.
That was Mike Matheny after the game last night, again talking about Mondesi's struggles on the young season. He has 21 at-bats. He's 2-for-21 with 9 strikeouts and no walks. And last night his struggles were in the field as well, and then on the base paths and just making mental errors. So all-around bad performance from Adalberto Mondesi. We'll see if he is in the lineup tonight against the Detroit Tigers. Back after this on WHB and 38 The Spot. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Talk to Mike Boddicker in about 20 minutes, get his thoughts about the Royals and Mondesi. We'll also talk to him about the Dodgers and the Astros last night. Benches cleared. There was some taunting, but that's really about it. Joe Kelly. I was in Joe Kelly's wedding.
He looks different.
Different Joe Kelly. Joe Kelly sent a 96-mile-per-hour fastball whizzing behind the head of Alex Bregman in the sixth inning last night. And now he is known to be occasionally wild. Remember that video of him trying to hit a target at home and broke a window? But I'm going to guess that this was not him being wild. He, let's see, I'm going to read to you from the story from Alden Gonzalez at ESPN. Kelly, the heart-throwing Dodgers reliever prone to occasional wildness, let out a demonstrative yawn. Moments later, after a few more brushback pitches, Kelly mocked Carlos Correa with a pouty face as he walked off the mound after striking Correa out and shared some choice words, prompting both benches to clear and offering a brief snapshot of the tension that still lingers between these teams. Now, Kelly was not on the 2017 Dodgers, who lost in the World Series to an Astros team that was later penalized for stealing signs, but he was on a Red Sox team that lost to the Astros in the first round of that year's postseason and then beat them in the ALCS the following year. Joe Kelly, after the game, denied any intent with his pitches, saying, "My accuracy isn't the best." Dusty Baker, Astros manager, disagreed. He said, "Balls get away sometimes. Boy, don't they, Dusty. Balls get away sometimes, but not that many in the big leagues. When you throw a 3-0 fastball over a guy's head, now you're flirting with ending his career." And, of course, the audio of Dust, we think Dusty Baker, it says two batters later, after the broadcast, caught someone yelling at Kelly to just get on the mound, little MF-er. I think that's what it was.
Oh, yeah.
After that, Kelly threw four consecutive pitches high against Yuli Gurriel, and then one of them was a curveball that nearly hit him. And so I'm going to guess that it was there was intent, and but now GIF or JIF? Where are we at now?
GIF.
What have we decided?
GIF.
Exactly. Of Joe Kelly walking off the mound with a pouty face that will be wildly popular today. Baker claimed that Kelly also yelled, "Nice swing, blank," after pursing his lips at Correa.
Word that rhymes with witch.
Right. There was intent. And most people were here for it. Most people were excited to see that. And now I would guess that and you throwing at someone's head's a no-no. But he didn't, you know, he didn't hit anybody. And so the Twitter universe, Twitterverse was in great support of Joe Kelly last night and his mocking of the Astros. And Hughes is like, "Wait a minute, I thought you guys forgot about all this." I'm like, "No. Some of the teams didn't." Did you have any problem with what Joe Kelly did last night?
Oh, I don't know. Throwing at somebody's head, not only could you end somebody's career, you could, you know, you could do some serious damage to somebody's life. So there's a little bit there that I'm like, man. But I will say this: like, I think some of these guys don't really care if they end some of these guys' career. I mean, I put myself in the shoes of the Dodgers. Those guys might not ever win a World Series. Probably won't. You know, I mean, the odds are that they'll never win the World Series now. I mean, they might do it, but the point is, like, the odds of... We've talked about it a lot. You know, Mike Boddicker will be in later. He got a World Series his first year in the big leagues, never really sniffed one again. You know, and it's... There's all kinds of great players throughout the history of baseball that never got a World Series ring. And if you got that close and feel like the other team blatantly cheated you out of it, it's hard for me to sit there and blame somebody for saying, "You know what, I'm going to screw that guy's career up because he screwed mine up." So I don't sit in any moral judgment of how they want to retaliate on that. I mean, I don't know what the right answer is, what the right way. In general, I'm usually against throwing baseballs at guys because you got your feelings hurt. But this is a little different than a guy pimped a home run on me. You know, this is a guy, if you really believe it, and I think most people in baseball really believe it, this is, I had a shot to win a World Series, and it was taken from me by a bunch of dirty cheaters, and I'm going to do something about it.
Does it make a difference that Joe Kelly wasn't on the team?
Yeah.
I mean, that's something to consider.
Yeah, it is.
Well, they lost to the Astros in that same postseason, so...
The Red Sox. Was he with the Red Sox then?
He was with the Red Sox, yeah. I mentioned that earlier.
So, you know, same type
Does
of thing.
Does that make a difference to you that he was on a different team, but they still lost to the Astros in the playoffs that year?
Not really. Jake? No.
Jake? I mean, I don't know. I don't have a problem with any of it, to be honest with you. What I have a problem with is once the bench is cleared, there is no social distancing.
Well, there kind of was. They stayed away from each other.
There was inside.
If there wasn't a pandemic going on, that would have been a full-on brawl, right?
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
That was appropriate. I was disappointed in that. Come on.
I mean, if you're gonna leave the benches, at least
do something.
If you're gonna break the social distancing, might as well fight it out.
Maybe they should just all line up and throw baseballs at each other from a safe distance.
Well, I mean, you know what? I'd watch that. I'd watch that.
Play dodgeball.
Yeah. Let's settle this.
Wrench, you can dodge a ball.
Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Let's squeeze some football in here before we talk to Mike Boddicker. We have six New England Patriots now that have opted out for the 2020 season, including starters Dante Hightower, Patrick Chung, and Marcus Cannon. Here, Mike Reese, ESPN NFL reporter, covers the Patriots, said on ESPN, talked about the Patriots players that have already opted out for the 2020 season.
You know, he definitely broke the ice maybe a little bit in terms of being a player in his prime that's willing to for family reasons. But, you know, I think what will be interesting, because most of the opt-outs that we've seen have been especially for, family reasons, somebody having a baby, somebody is getting ready to have a baby, those sort of things. What I think will be really interesting is just if there's a really high-profile player who says, not for health reasons, not for the pre-existing condition where you get $350,000, but the one where it's just the voluntary opt-out where you get an advance of $150,000 on your next year's salary. If a really high-profile player comes forth and says, you know what, just I don't think it's worth the risk. I don't think playing in a pandemic is good for my health, for my teammates' health, for my community, the community's health, for the country's health, and for that reason I can't, you know, from a moral or ethical standpoint, bring myself to do that. I think that would be something that would really maybe open the door for some other people who are having just some, you know, internal misgivings that have nothing to do with their immediate health or even the immediate health of the people around them, but just the larger moral and ethical implications of what the NFL is trying to do.
All right, let's hear the other clip of Mike Reese talking about Patriots players opting out.
You know, he definitely broke the ice, maybe.
Well, the point
is, we spent all offseason talking about how the Patriots would look without their quarterback on offense in Tom Brady. Well, with Dante Hightower, this is taking away the quarterback of their defense. And, you know, to highlight his value to the Patriots, just go to the nickname that Bill Belichick coined him, called him Mr. February for his knack for coming up with big game-changing plays in the Super Bowl. So while all these opt-outs hit the Patriots in a different degree, Hightower is really the one that hits them the hardest, especially considering the other talent they lost at linebacker, Kyle Van Noy, Jamie Collins, leaving in free agency.
That was Mike Reese talking about Dante Hightower, Mr. February, as he said, three-time Super Bowl champ, team captain, and the guy that calls the defensive signals for the team and was obviously going to be relied upon even more after the departures of Kyle Van Noy and Jamie Collins. And so that was Mike Reese from ESPN talking about the Patriots players opting out for 2020. We'll be right back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Hey, Kansas City, thank you so much for watching us on 38 The Spot to start your Wednesday off, hopefully, in a good way. Coming up, we're going to talk to Mike Boddicker. He'll be in studio with us for the next hour. We'll see if he has anything to say about Adalberto Mondesi's performance last night. Also, Gary Lezak and Billy Donlin and J.J. Piccolo and Jeff Chedia, all that between now and 10 o'clock right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB.